That's happening.
What is this song? What's this? How's this relate?
This is the 2001 smash hit from O-Town, smash. All or Nothing, which is what we're about to talk about.
There you go.
The Mino Touch.
Love the Mino Touch. Yeah, the show is called All or Nothing. It's on Amazon Prime. Man, I think you said it last week that the fact that this is about a bad football team might actually be better.
Way better than the Arizona version last year that they did in season one. Way better.
I think we're both fully through four episodes, and I've dipped my toe in episode five and had to bail, but it's great. Just they and I didn't remember, you know, I guess this is why the NFL is great, right? No matter what team you're looking at or following, you can find fun and drama, and there's a ton of it, because the Rams actually started out 3-1. Do you know what their final record ended up being?
I'm going to say 4-12, 3-13.
Really? They only end up one more win?
They were not better than 4-12. I'm positive of that.
Hey, let me do this. Let's start where they started. So the season, you know, it's the L.A. Rams. They moved to L.A. and blah, blah, blah. And Jeff Fisher has been their coach for some time. And their opening, you know, opening speech to the team is being covered here. And here's Jeff Fisher.
Welcome. We're going to go through a few things. This is not going to be very long. But before I do that, I'm going to share some stuff with you. I don't think I've ever done this before. I've not talked about myself. Okay? My past is my past. But you need to realize that I know what I'm doing. Okay? Coaching the Super Bowl, couple championship games, division titles, 13 win seasons. I haven't won 10 straight. Start a year, 10-0.
By the way, let me just pause. There's more. If you have to tell people that you're funny, are you funny?
Probably not.
Like, does Belichick have to go tell people that he knows what he's doing?
Seattle.
Do you have to, if you have to convince an incoming crop of players that you should listen to me, why? Then does that say all you need to know there?
You know, like a decade ago, I won 10 in a row.
Yeah, also.
Was he handing out resumes?
Also, he had been the coach for 4 years. So it's not like he was a new guy that showed up. Like, there may be a handful of guys in here who have never played for you before, but most of these people know you. This is like you're having to sell them on this at year four, year five. It's probably out of the bag already.
And how has their record been in those past few years?
He was just really confused because they moved, and he's like,
he thought that,
new team.
He thought new, it's new a me. Whole new team. Yeah, okay.
Start over. No, you want to take a guess at what their record had been?
I would say 7-9 every year.
7-8-1. Don't forget the year that he threw a tie in there to give you the Jeff Fisher.
Okay, that's why he wouldn't accept 7-9.
That's right.
I'm not going 7-9 or 8-8 or 9-7. Okay, or 10-6 for that matter. This team's too talented. I'm not going to settle for that. Okay. We don't have any excuses. This move thing's not an excuse. This move thing is an advantage. Considering what you guys did.
And I'll tell you what, you can put an emphasis on the word. It doesn't change the fact that this move thing sucks.
Yeah.
And you cannot. In fact, listen, he'll continue. This isn't that much longer. He'll paint it. How is this an advantage?
This move thing's not an excuse. This move thing is an advantage. Considering what you guys did and the commitments that you made and what you did up to this point. Okay?
What
does that mean at
I'm working
all,
with you. Okay? But I'm not working with a 7-9 team. I'm working with a double-digit team. You got me?
Yeah, he says it's an advantage, and then every single player they talk to is like, God, this sucks.
Hey, wait, explain again. Why is it an advantage?
considering what you guys did and the commitments that you made and what you did up to this point. Okay.
Okay. So you mean like what? The fact that I've played football before, or like what commitment?
I think he just means because you moved all your stuff out here.
Yeah, it's like
that's a little bit of.
There's no way to paint
we'll
it.
Take that.
There's no way to paint it as an advantage.
Yeah, some of you were going to
except that you might have get learned. Shot by a stray bullet or something in St. Louis. Although, yeah, here we are in L.A.
Yeah,
so you're fine now.
Yeah, that felt very hollow. And yeah, again, every single player they talked to was like, "Yeah, this sucks. This has been a real beating having to move all my stuff out of here
family,
in the middle of an off season." Like, yeah, I don't know where.
Not sure
is.
If I'm going to be here next year, so we're going to rent.
And then he's like, "It's an advantage if you just say it like that."
Coach, it's not.
No, I don't really buy what he's selling. But unlike you, I think I do buy what Greg Williams is selling.
So Greg Williams is the defensive coordinator.
Was.
If it weren't for Bountygate, I don't know if we'd really know about him.
If it weren't
like,
for
you know
Bountygate
his name
and the
you
hammer.
You knew his name was Greg Williams, so I remember he was with the Redskins and the Bills. But because of Bountygate, his name became a household name, I guess, among NFL fans.
Yeah, I mean, he was the guy who was recorded actually saying, "Kill the head and the body will die," which is about the most damning line from the NFL's concussion scandal.
And now I'm watching this with my 14-year-old kid. So maybe that's bad parenting. I don't know. There's a lot of profanity in here, but that's about it. And those are just words created by us, right? By humans.
It's a construct.
So as we're watching this, it doesn't fail. Every episode, there's at least one, maybe two times when they'll be on Greg Williams. And he seems to have this weird cadence where he will be talking to you, and he'll be explaining why this opponent is a real difficult one. And you better effing listen to me!
Yeah.
Like, it just comes out of nowhere. Like, I feel like every episode now, it's where is that going to come out? Because it's just this, it's not a slow build. There's no build.
Touchy, feel on his assy.
But he's just talking. He's just talking normal. And then he yells at you! Like, we burst out laughing every time, even though it's always so profanity-laced. And it's like the first time I've ever watched a show with my kid with this many F-bombs in it that we're both just sitting there watching.
Because it feels so dumb.
Like it doesn't feel real. Like, are these guys actually taking Greg Williams seriously?
I don't know if they are or not, but we'll play about a minute and a half montage here. We can stop it at any point if you want, and the P1s can decide for themselves.
Ball, come on! Let go! We line up wrong, and it's one play. Oh, it's just one play, Coach. Coach, just understand. You and understand.
That's a good one for what you're talking about right there.
So what did he say?
He's like, we line up wrong. Oh, Coach, oh, here you go.
Oh, it's just one play, Coach. Coach, just understand. F you and understand.
F you and understand.
I'm tired of it. Get the f lined up. Here we go.
You understand while I'm providing the stress?
Yeah,
I want you to feel my f-ing stress so that Monday night there ain't nothing.
I do enjoy that explanation there. I want you to feel how stressed I am in practice.
So well, that and that's
I'm transporting my tension to you.
That's a common thing, right? You make it tougher, make practice tougher.
Right.
Not that they do it with hitting or anything, but you make practice situation tougher, and then you won't even care about it come Sunday. In fact, that'll be like a day off if if I don't have this guy screaming at me.
Okay, I'm going to f***ing do everything I can for you to feel it. Got it? If we would have given up four f***ing field goals, okay, and about 221 yards, okay, 12 to nothing would have been different than how we're sitting here right now.
We got plenty of time, plenty of reps. To be ready. And guess what? It's your responsibility to be f***ing ready.
How about that s***? That's some pretty good s***. Come on now, eyes, get your eyes right. Hey, I don't give a f*** if it is a walkthrough. Nothing! Let's go! Our turns.
Sack it back! Sack it back! That's it, good!
Some of you get it, some of you don't. Stop taking a f***ing nap during the day!
That's the one.
Some of you get it, some of you don't. Stop taking a f***ing nap during the day! Priorities in this ball game.
Is there a lot longer?
No, like 10 seconds, but you need to hear this one.
Okay, I want to go back to the nap thing when you're done.
Okay.
Priorities in this ball game. Stop the run. Stop the run. Stop the f***ing run!
That's the one.
That's a great... We heard you the first two times, Coach.
Run! What if Eli says, f*** you, f*** you, f*** you, f*** you, hot, and goes... And we're in the middle of talking.
Stop the run. Stop the... Stop!
Stop taking a nap. Stop taking a nap!
What's wrong with naps?
Has got a nap rant.
Okay, here's the thing with the naps.
Good for
Back to
health.
That. They went to play in London. And, of course, they were trying to sell that as, hey, this is a positive.
This is an advantage. That's why they're sending the Rams.
That we have to travel from L.A. to Detroit and then immediately to London. And they were laughing at the fact the Giants wouldn't be there till Thursday. We're getting there Monday. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, we're going to be way ahead of the game. And they're all like, there's guys literally falling asleep at practice because... what is it, 8-hour time difference, and they would end up once it came game time, they're going to be playing this game at, what, 6 a.m. their time. Their body clock is used to this being 6 a.m., and they're going to be playing a game, which means they're up way earlier than that and getting prepared for the game. So they were talking, their theory on travel, and it seems like it would be my theory too, but I'm wondering if they've really thought it out. On your body clock adjusting, they're doing it all at once. So he was yelling at him, stay awake. Don't take a nap at 6 p.m., which would usually be, you know, midnight or whatever, your bedtime. Stay awake until later and then fall asleep and do the full catch up and your body shifts all at once. Would it be better to shift an hour at a time or 2 hours at a time? Like, when you do a daylight savings time shift, you don't really... It doesn't affect you at all, does it?
No. I think you're definitely right that it would be beneficial, but it's just a matter of whether or not you have time to do it. Like, do you have enough time to make an incremental change whenever you really only have, like, 5 days before the game? You know, you can't really pull that off on vacation. Same type of deal, right? If you've ever traveled internationally, my wife will just be all over my ass. Like, you're not going to sleep whenever we get to the room. Because you'll wake up at midnight.
Yeah, and you're wasting a day you have to spend time in Hawaii or in London or wherever you're at now, and you got to fight through it. Yeah, and then be really tired and just get tons of sleep, catch up later. Like, I wonder if they've actually, you know, consulted medical professionals on what would be the best thing, just based on the fact that, you know, NFL teams have just started realizing nutrition is important too. You know, I wonder if they've thought about these sleep patterns. I've always hated, you've heard me talk, that NBA teams or NHL teams practice like at 11 a.m.
Yeah.
And they play all their games at 7. Why not practice at 7 o'clock at night or 8 o'clock at night every night? Whenever you practice, you should, you know, tune your body into being at its peak athletic performance that same time every day.
It makes a lot of sense. I don't know. I mean, obviously you have like the family life element of it, but you make a lot of money. So I think you'd figure it out. I think the upshot for me though is that if Greg Williams wants them to take a nap or doesn't want them to take a nap, why not just be like, hey guys, it would be better if you didn't take a nap. Like you'll be at a more peak performance level on Sunday.
Do you think he needs to scream in their face?
Instead, he's just...
Some of you get it. Some of you don't. Stop taking a f***ing nap during the day.
More bacon and pancakes.
So let's end with, do you have that cut from Jeff Fisher after they lost in London?
Yeah.
They started out 3-1. Now they're 3-4. They've lost 3 games in a row. I would say, hey, now you have 2 weeks off too. And you have this 10-hour flight or however long the flight is going to be to go home. wouldn't you try to leave everybody with some kind of a, hey, we started out 3-1. We're a good team, though. We lost to Detroit, like, on the last play of the game. We lost this other game, barely lost it, to Buffalo, right, at home.
Yeah.
And then we were in this game right to the end as well. We're right on the cusp, guys. We're very close. You shouldn't hang your heads here. Instead, this is what Jeff Fisher
did. Yeah, the locker room.
What it f***ing feels like to win? Step outside the hallway and listen to their locker room. That's how it feels. We haven't felt that in 3 f***ing weeks. And we beat ourselves because there was too many f***ing mistakes out there. So you want to start figuring out what it feels like to win and take your break and get your ass f***ing back here after the bye week and start winning f***ing football games.
My question is, it two things? Is it inspirational? Like, are you really ready to run through a wall for this guy? And is it productive? And I think no on both. And I think when you hear about the great coaches, they always seem to go harder when things are going well, and they reel it back, and they're actually softer and better, nicer to you when things are going poorly. And I wonder if that's where the disconnect of Jeff Fisher is and why he remains a 7-9 coach who once won 10 games in a row, 15 years ago.
And had to tell you all about it. What's going on?
Is that mine or yours?
I'm going to say you.
Or someone else. Anyway, so
there you go. It's
all or nothing.
Hit it! Hit
rock
it!
Back.
I really love the show, though. Behind the scenes of what's going on in an actual NFL season and in a lost season, it's getting better. Like episode 4.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Episode 4 was the best, and I'm anxious to see how we get to where we're going to get to. Right now, it is 2:50. This is the ticket.